Okay, my name is Josh Burnham, lead pastor here, and I have the joy of bringing the word today with you. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, Luke 23, and as you turn there, I want to share some initial thoughts. So first, the DNA of this church, Bethel, is to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world. Why do we say that? Because we believe certain things. We believe that there's not a single person here that's listening that doesn't need grace. And grace has been extended to everyone. But we believe there's not anything in your life that Jesus can't change. So if you've come here and you say, well, I'm struggling with this and it's just never going to work, Jesus Christ will change everything about your life if you submit to Him and submit that to Him. And we also believe this. Once grace has come to you, it's going to someone else. And every single person in the world needs good news. So who are you going to? That's the hope that God has for us, is to share with others. So with that, I want to say a special thanks to a couple groups of people, and you're going to help me. So don't applaud yet. So if you're new here, watching online, maybe for the first time, new here in person, maybe you've come back since Easter, we want to say welcome. For those that made first-time decisions last week to either say yes to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, or to get baptized, or to take the next step spiritually, can you let them know how proud you are of them? And the joy is that person might be sitting next to you, and you are rejoicing with the heavens of their next step in faith. So today we are beginning a new series called Deep Roots. It's behind you, it's in front of me. We believe that every person should be like the tree in Psalm 1. That those who delight in the law of the Lord, you will be like a tree planted where? Not in the desert. By the river, by the waters, where your leaf will not wither, where you will produce fruit. God wants you to thrive and grow and be healthy and produce fruit for the next generations. And so Deep Roots is a deeper dive into how you can become spiritually healthy. So really we're going to answer in the next 3 or 4 weeks a micro-series. It doesn't mean it's smaller in importance, it just means it's smaller in scope. We're going to answer the question, Jesus rose from the dead, now what? Jesus rose from the dead, now what? So Luke 23, verse 44. We're going to read that. I'm reading from the CSB, Christian Standard Bible. Luke 23:44. Luke tells us, Dr. Luke says, it was now about noon and darkness came over the whole land until 3. Now, let's stop there. So from noon to 3, is it usually dark? No. So this is an odd phenomenon. Someone would say, well, it was an eclipse or it was something else. Either way, it was a miraculous moment of darkness. Because the sun's light failed. The curtain of the sanctuary was split down the middle. So we're going to key in on that verse, the entire message. And Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit. And saying this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had happened, now let's stop here. The centurion was there for what reason? To help execute the sentence on the criminals. So the centurion was there to make sure that Jesus died. Everyone with me? So he was a professional executioner. He had seen this before. And this centurion, when he saw what had happened, began to glorify God, saying, this man really was righteous. And while the crowds had gathered for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, they went home striking their chest. But all who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. So embedded in the resurrection narrative is a seemingly passive detail. It's a small detail, and it's in the synoptic gospels. So when we say the synoptics, we mean Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's the small detail that when Jesus breathed his last, something happened in the temple. What happens? A curtain. We're going to get back to that. There were multiple curtains, but a curtain was torn from top to bottom. Now, why is this important? Well, because the curtains would have been about 30 to 60 feet tall, and some estimate 4 inches thick. So this is not like someone ran in the curtain real quick and tore it and said, aha, I don't know what happens. This was only possible if some divine event ripped and rend the curtain. And it's more than a small, colorful detail. Those who are astute here today, maybe in your biblical knowledge, you understand that Luke was a Gentile. And so he would have known better than anyone that the curtains were to keep his people, his type people, out of worship. This is more than a small historical aside to the road of resurrection glory. When the curtain was ripped in two, when the veil was torn and the Son of Man rose again, an invitation was given. It's an invitation to deep-rooted relationship with God. Like never before. Something happened in this moment. So the temple here, second temple, this was Herod's temple in Jesus' day, and the tabernacle before it had veils. And we're going to talk about the veils before we jump into why this is important in your life. So the tabernacle in the Old Testament was a mobile temple. It was God's presence dwelling with his congregation. It was a reminder that God does not stand above his people, but he takes residence with you. Have you ever heard the phrase, God tabernacled with them? Anyone? I see some heads, okay. Which, literally, there was a tabernacle and God dwelled in the tabernacle. The Ark of the Covenant was in there. So you would go in the tabernacle. Well, you wouldn't. Someone would go in the tabernacle. They would go through the outer court to the court in the temple of women, court of Gentiles, and then the court of the Jews. And there was a curtain that would separate you from that place. If you were able to go into the inner sanctuary, then one day a year, a high priest would go into the most holy place. And in the most holy place was something we call the Ark of the Covenant. Maybe you remember that from Indiana Jones. And inside the Ark were three important visible signs of God's grace. It was the law, the Ten Commandments. It was the budding of Aaron's staff to remind them of the divine nature of God's priesthood. And it was also the manna, the heavenly donuts, to remind them that God is the provider. When you didn't have anywhere else to turn, when you prayed, God, give us today our daily bread, he provides. And on top of the ark, there was a seat. It actually wasn't really a seat because you didn't sit there. It was a lid, and it had two cherubs. They faced each other, but the lid was called the mercy seat. Now, I love the imagery of what God is teaching us. God doesn't meet you in wrath. Where does he meet with his people? In mercy. Aren't you thankful for God's mercy? I was reminded this week there are two people in this world. Bad people who have found judgment and bad people who have found grace and mercy. I want to be in the second category. And in all of this, after Moses died, who saw God face to face, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies one day a year. And he would sacrifice for the people. He would sacrifice for himself. Then he would go in with two goats. One goat he would slaughter. Sorry, kids. The other goat they would lay their hands on and lead into the wilderness to represent the sins of the people were carried off. So terrified was the congregation that one day the goat would come back that they eventually threw him off a cliff. because they never wanted their sins to come back in their midst. Now, what in the world is going on here? And why would I give you this background? When Jesus died, the inner veil was torn. When that veil was torn, when the Son of Man rose again, an invitation to you and to me for a deep-rooted relationship to know Him was cast. The veil opened the doors for something new in your life. So for the rest of our time, we're going to look at why this small, seemingly small moment in Scripture was life-changing for you and for me. Remember, God wants you to know Him. So let's think back to the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a reminder that God wanted to dwell with His people, right? Yes. But the veil was a reminder that you can get close to God, but don't get too close. Because God is so holy that His presence in your life would not only cause fear, but it would cause catastrophic failure. Because you and I are not holy. So very simply, the curtain that was torn here kept people out. It kept you out of the presence of God. It's a reminder that fallen people could never purely worship God. Your worship will never be pure because you are tainted, you are sinned, you are not what God created you to be. You are fallen from His glory. Not only did it keep you out, but it kept you out of seeing. Think about this. The priest would go into worship. He would sacrifice. He would sing. The incense would fill the temple, and there would be worship. So literally, the curtain kept you out of seeing and experiencing worship. Now, for you who are not of the Jewish faith and heritage, you had two curtains. You had the curtain to the Holy of Holy that you could never enter into, and there was the curtain that would keep you out of the temple. So you would never see worship ever in your life. And as a reminder, get close, but don't get too close. You would never see sacrifice. You would never see atonement. You might hear about it. You might hear, is today? Is today the day of atonement? Today the priest would sacrifice for our sins, and there's no leaven in our camp. We would have to remove that from our house. You would hear about sacrifice. You would hear about atonement, but you would never experience it first hand. The curtain kept you out. But now, through the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ, you don't have to experience worship by proxy. Think about that. It would almost be like, hey, Josh, can you go to worship for me today? And you just come home and tell me what it was like. Can you imagine feeling like that over and over and over again? And because of Jesus, listen, you never have to be left out in the cold again. When the veil was torn, you can have firsthand experience of a deep-rooted relationship with Jesus, with God. Think about that. When I think about what Jesus did on the cross and His resurrection, it changes the way I worship today. Because the veil has been torn. No longer do I have to come to this place, to the house of worship, and there's a curtain and that says, get close, but don't get too close. We get to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews says it this way in Hebrews 10. Listen to what he says. He says, now, brothers and sisters, we have a boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus Christ. But now let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. For the Jewish person, they would read this and say, we get to do what? We we get to enter into the sanctuary. We get to come with full assurance of faith. The resurrection now gives you an offer to have an abundant, vibrant faith where you can know God and be known by Him. I don't know about you, but I don't want anything in my life to keep me away again. People ask me, why do you worship? I say, I don't have to worship. I get to. The veil was torn. And if Jesus says, come in, I want to go. I never want to neglect what is so great in my life. Not only, though, did the curtain keep you out, but it kept you safe. The curtain kept you safe. The veil was a reminder because of your sin, you could only get so close. Can you imagine if we had a sign on the door that said, sinners stay away? Who among us would be here? The curtain was the sign. The curtain was the sign that said, stay out. And high priest, don't you even dare come in until one day a year. The most holy person in the camp could only come after he had purified himself and his family. And he could only come on one day a year. Listen, in God's economy, sin is a separator. Sin is a separator. Your sin kills worship and it breaks relationship. I don't know if you've ever felt like me, but when I sin, feels like the last thing I want to do is go into the presence of God. I feel like that scolded animal, you know, that tore up your favorite shoe. And you walk in and you think, where is he? Where is she? And the dog's hiding behind a lamp or something. That's how we feel, isn't it, when we sin? It's like, God, I can't come into your presence. Because sin separates us and the curtain kept you safe. But when Jesus died on the cross, and the veil was torn in two, it was a reminder that no longer the curtain keeps you safe, but Jesus makes you safe. No longer is there anything keeping you out. Jesus is now bringing you in because when he died on the cross, when he rose again, he makes you right. He makes you righteous. He makes you whole. I don't know if the sinners in the room heard that. Let me re-say it. If you're a sinner, and that's all of us, when Jesus died on the cross, he forgave and cleansed everything about you. And we no longer have to be kept out to stay safe. Jesus purifies us that we might come in. And so, church, let not your sin keep you away ever again. Because Jesus invites you into a deeper relationship to know him and be known by him. Why can that happen? Because Jesus didn't just open the door to God, he is God. So John 14, we should have it on the screen if you don't want to turn there. John 14, 8, a man named Philip, one of the inner circle of Jesus, says this, Jesus, show us the Father and that's enough for us. Now, some of you are thinking, well, I know John 14 because Philip's statement follows one of the greatest teachings that Jesus ever utters. John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. If you know me, he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Why is this important? Because Philip is raising his hand and saying, Jesus, okay, I understood what you said. You're the way, you're the truth, you're the life. No man comes to the Father except through you. If we know you, we know the Father. Philip raises his hand and says, Jesus, you show us the Father, and that's enough for me. Jesus was like, what? Did you not just hear me? It's the reminder from the Messiah in your life that to know Jesus is to know God. This is life-changing stuff. That's why Philip doesn't grasp the importance of it, because he's thinking there's no way this Jesus meant what he said. To know Jesus is to know the Father? Yes. From the very beginning, our Father is a revealing creator who invites you to know Him and be known by Him. This is what the Bible calls the incarnation. God made flesh. And it is the power of Christian worship. So in Christ, listen, you don't know about God, you get to know Him. You don't know about God, you know God because of Jesus Christ. That is why we worship. For me, that's why worship is not I have to. It's I get to. I get to know God. Let me stop right here. Let me wait. It's post-Easter. I know you guys are asleep. Let's say this out loud. When you hear it, I want you to hear what your mouth's about to say. So we're just going to say, I get to know God. You ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. I get to know God. No one in the history of the world has been able to say that apart from Jesus Christ. Think of what joy we have. This is the deep root of Christian faith. You get to know God. But not only that, Yahweh also wants you to know who you are in Him. So not only do you get to know Him, but Yahweh wants you to know who you are in Him. When the veil was torn, something changed with the people of the Lord. They were given a new identity. Jesus hints at this in Matthew 16. He gives them a new word. It's like a vocabulary quiz for the disciples. Jesus is at the temple or the Mount of Banias. It's this God who they believe that they lived at the gates of hell. And Jesus is there. And He points and says, He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overpower it. The new word that Jesus introduces to His disciples is the word church. And it's a word that has been hijacked through centuries. Listen, Yahweh wants you to know who you are in Him. If you are in Christ, you are the church. If you are in Christ, you are the church. And so God wants His church to know who you are in Him. Think about it really quick. And if you want to run to these verses, you can. The book of Romans, Romans 1:7, written by a man named Paul, starts out this way. To all who are in Rome, loved by God as saints. The book to the Romans was written to the Roman church. 1 Corinthians, the next book over, 1:2, written again by Paul, says, to the church of God at Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called as saints. 2 Corinthians is written to the church in Corinth. Galatians, written to the church at Galatia. Ephesians, written to the church at Ephesus. And you say, okay, I got it. Paul wrote to the church. Well, let's look at James, the brother of Jesus. James 5, verse 14. He says, is anyone sick? He should call for the elders of the church that they might lay hands on that person and anoint them with oil. And then the sick person, if their sins will be forgiven, and that they will be raised up. James is writing to the church. So if Jesus says you are the church, if Paul says you are the church, if James says you are the church, what does John say? Revelation 1:4. John, to the seven churches in Asia, grace and peace to you from the one who is and who was and who is to come. Listen, deep roots of faith begin when you understand who you are in Him. Who you are in Him. The church, was God's plan A for the world. You want to know what God's plan for the world is? You're it. He doesn't have a backup plan. God doesn't need contingency plans. You, I know some of you are sweating right now thinking, oh no, I'm about to blow it. You are God's plan A. The church is God's plan A to make a difference in the world through the power of the Holy Spirit because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're it. We're it. You are the church. No longer can I say then, well, I went to so-and-so church. Or no longer can I say, this is my church. Because of the resurrection, because of the torn veil in Luke, you must now say, the church is me. Who is the church? If you are in Christ, it is me. So God is asking you today, will you accept your new identity? Will you accept who you are? You are the church. Will you bring unity to the people of Christ? You are the church. Every time you support the testimony of the local church by gathering. If you're here today and you have gathered in the name of Jesus, raise your hand. This is a softball question. You are the church. When you sing, yes, you're singing to the Lord, but maybe you're not singing for yourself. Maybe you're singing because someone near you is on the verge of a mental breakdown, or they're depressed, or they're on the verge of suicide, or they're struggling with who they are in Christ, or they maybe they are not in Christ. And by you singing, by you gathering, by you reading, by you praying, God is doing something in their life as you are worshiping. You are the church. Every time you pray, every time you give, every time you serve, you are growing deep roots of faith and you are reminding the world, I am the church and He is worth it. God wants you to know Him, but He wants you to know who you are in Him. And because you are who you are in Jesus, God now wants them to know Him. So let's go back to this passage one more time. The veil was torn, verse 47 of Luke 23. When the centurion saw what had happened, now he was not seeing the veil being torn, but he's watching Jesus on the cross, and as Jesus is dying on the cross, the veil is being torn. When the centurion saw what had happened, he began to glorify God, saying, this man really was righteous. Because the veil tore, the centurion was able to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's the power of the crucifixion and the resurrection. Deep roots of faith. Now, lead us to a deep burden for others. 2 Corinthians says it this way. Paul picks up on this language and he says in verse 15 of chapter 3, he says, yet still today, when Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. Have you heard that word before? Yes, you have. Luke 23, 44, 45. So a veil was over their hearts. But listen to verse 16. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, a veil is removed. So because Jesus Christ tore the veil of the temple, now the veil of your heart and my heart can be removed, and we can enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ and to the Father because of the resurrection. Because of the power of the crucifixion. Why should that weigh on us? Because we need to worship in a way that the veil is removed for others. We need to worship in a way where if people walk in here, they're not part of the church, because only Jesus can invite you to be a part of the church. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But they need to see us and see our lives and our worship to say, wow, you guys really believe this stuff, don't you? You really believe Jesus died for you. You really believe Jesus rose again for you. You really believe that you should gather and worship. You really believe the veil was torn. You really believe that you should follow the way of Jesus because it's the way that leads to righteousness. What's with you, Christians? You guys are so strange. We need to live in a way that the veil of others' hearts will be removed. Because the veil in our lives have been removed. I want to live in a way that the centurion can confess, because God is using us to make a difference in their lives. Church, does your worship, does your life tear the veil of separation for other people? And maybe today you are them. Maybe you're the centurion. And a song that we sang, or a prayer that we prayed, or hearing that God loves you has resonated in your heart. Would you come to Jesus? So how do I do that? It can be as simple as what the centurion said. Wow, this really was a righteous man. I believe Jesus died an innocent life. I believe he died for guilty people. I believe he rose again. I believe that he will give me righteousness. I believe the veil was torn today for me. If you're like the centurion and you are struggling with faith, would you pray that prayer? Would you say yes to Jesus Christ, who promises that he will hear you? He will redeem you if you repent and turn to him. Several years ago, I was at my grandmother's house, grandparents' house. They live in South Mississippi. And we would often go to her home on the weekends, especially for holy days, holidays. And my grandmother's house is a small room. It's a small house, 3-bedroom. It had one bath until she had 3 boys. And so they converted one of the pocket closets into a half bath. So it was a 3-bedroom, small 3-bedroom home with 1.5 baths for 5 people. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, I can't believe they live like that. Well, they had a home. And she still lives in that home. My dad grew up in that home. She's lived there 60-something years now. But there's a room in the house that we simply call the room. And you go in the room on holy days. Christmas Eve, Thanksgiving, and you only ate in part of the room for Thanksgiving. Maybe other gatherings if the Lord allowed. You could play outside, you could wrestle in the den, you could do anything you want, but you did not go in the room. And I'll never forget when the first great-grandson was born. This little child was being held, and someone was holding them close to the window. And this little baby grabbed the curtain, the shears, and ripped the curtain from top to bottom. I was in the room when it happened. And I remember saying, "Lord, send your wrath. This is how it ends." Every adult in the room had big eyes. And this is what I will never forget this. My grandmother walks in, and this is her words. She said, "Yeah, they were old. They needed to be replaced anyway." And I remember thinking, what happened to my grandmother? But when those curtains were ripped, I remember thinking specifically something has changed in her. I will never forget that day. That room is still the room. And I still only go into that room in holy days. It's also the room where the peppermint and the Hershey Kisses are kept, just for your information. That was the day. I remember everything changed. But there was a day where there was a more holy room than that. And when the veil of that room was torn, everything changed. That was the day that Jesus said, "The life as you know it will never be the same." You can enter into a personal relationship with Jesus because the veil was torn. And maybe you're here right now and you realize that worship has not been as important as God wants it to be in your life. Maybe you've taken it for granted. Maybe for you, worship has become a have to rather than I get to. Never forget that the curtain kept you out and it kept you safe. But Jesus, no, because the veil was torn, no longer do you have to stay out, and he makes you safe. Would you spend time praying and worshiping God this morning, saying, God, never again do I want any barriers to worship. I want deep roots of faith. I want to know you personally. Don't let anything keep you away again. Maybe for you today, you're thinking, God, I've forgotten who I am in you. And maybe something in your life has hijacked the word church. Church is something that you go to, or it's a building, or it's an entity, and you've forgotten you are the church. And maybe today you need to come in a simple confession before God and say, God, I want to again be who you have made me to be in Jesus Christ. God, I want to again know you, but know who I am in you. Lord, help me be who you've created me to be. And maybe today, there's someone on your heart, and that's the centurion. That's the them. And they're far from Christ. And maybe God's burdening you to pray where you are, to come to the altar and pray for them and say, God, don't keep them out. Lord, bring conviction that they might have confession, that they might find that you will forgive them and make them righteous. Maybe that's a son or a daughter or a grandparent or a neighbor or a coworker. Maybe today God's called you here to pray for the them. Because God wants them to know him because of Jesus. This is what a deep-rooted relationship looks like. And what Jesus has opened, I never want to close again. I want my worship to be different. I want my personal relationship to be different because Jesus invites you in for the first time. May we never, ever be the same because the veil has been torn. You don't have to wait to the Day of Atonement. You don't have to wait to the Holy Days. You can come in to the presence of God because of Jesus Christ. You have open access to him. May we live like people who are free, who are right, who are safe. So as we enter into a time of response, if you want to respond on that green card, if you want to talk to a pastor, I'll be here during the song. If you want to come up afterwards, I would love to help you take your next steps of faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray.